From the New York Times, I'm Michael Barbaro. This is The Daily. Today, in 2012, a woman raised her hand and asked if the city of Charlottesville, Virginia, should remove a statue of General Robert E. Lee from a downtown park. The chain of events that led from that question to Saturday's violence. And racism is evil, the president says, 2 days after the violence erupted in Charlottesville. It's Tuesday, August 15th.
My name is Kristen Sakis. I've been on the Charlottesville City Council for 8 years. I have lived in Charlottesville for 22 years and love my city. When I moved here, our family noticed these two large Confederate statues in Charlottesville, but Robert E. Lee is by far the most dominant. It's in a central park of our city, overlooking the downtown, kind of in a high pride of place. And it was startling because we had heard that Charlottesville was this wonderfully welcoming place. We have an interracial family. And when we saw those statues, we wondered, you know, why is Charlottesville glorifying heroes of the Confederacy if it really is a place that's interested in racial equity? And so in 2012, when I was on city council, I went to a lecture of an historian.
In our time thinking about the South here, based in Virginia, one of the more monumentalized places in America, I think it's fair to say.
Talking about the kind of practice of putting up these monuments to the Confederacy
across
in the
South,
early 1920s.
Right.
We've seen lots of different kinds of monuments to the past of all the humans that have enacted things here before us. And our challenge has been to figure out what these are monuments to, but also what they say about the people who built them, and also about what they, our response to them says about us.
And that they were really part of the resurgence of this sort of myth of Southern white greatness. When white people were in charge in the South and everything was wonderful and there was honor, and that is what these statues signified. And so at the end of his lecture, you know, there was a couple of questions and then a pause. And so I asked the question, is it time for us to look at these monuments that are around the South and say, are these really expressing the sentiments of our people? Is this really the kind of monuments we should be having in our cities? And there was this gasp in the room. It was, you know, it was like, oh, how could you bring up such a thing? It was a little startling to me. You know, I grew up in Mississippi. My parents were both civil rights workers. And you talk about these things. You know, what does history mean, and how do we live out that history today? As I left the lecture, a reporter who had been in the location came running up to me and asked me, do you stand by what you said in there? And I realized just even by bringing up the question, it was loaded with all sorts of angst and meaning. And I said, of course I meant it. I think we should have this conversation. And the headline the next day in the paper was, "Counselor suggests removing Lee statue." And I started getting phone calls and death threats. Some folks, I don't know who, but in the night came and plastered Confederate stickers on the backs of our car in the driveway.
So what happens after that? How does this move from a question that you posed in a informal setting, you know, with a professor of history? How does that move to an ordinance being taken up by the city council?
Well, I think over the intervening years, a lot of members of the public started contacting city council and really talking about why this was important.
In all our discussions about this issue, I am convinced that this council is unanimous in feeling that these statues of fallen rebel commanders do not represent our interpretation of history or the way we should treat our neighbors.
Charlottesville is one of the best cities in the country for a variety of reasons.
I have heard from African-American citizens of Charlottesville who feel that by continuing to glorify these Confederate monuments, especially the monument to Robert E. Lee, who led the Army of the Confederacy in a war to preserve the institution of slavery, that is on its face every single day a slap in the face to people in our own community whose ancestors would have been enslaved if that side had won. I've heard from white Charlottesville residents who say that the presence of those statues, especially the Robert E. Lee statue in that park, conveys the idea that this city supports the ideas of the Confederacy and makes it look like they believe that, and they don't. I've heard from other people who say, you know, my great-great-grandfather fought for the Confederacy, and if you take that statue down, it disrespects his memory.
My name is Jason Kessler. I've lived in the city of Charlottesville for over 10 years. I was born here. My family are from here. My descent, my ancestors are Confederate veterans. I believe in the First Amendment. I believe in the right for people to peaceably assemble and speak their minds.
Some of the meetings we had, people who brought Confederate flags and guns.
As I was saying, every day you guys come up here and talk about black people, you talk about gay people, you don't give a damn about white people. And white people have a right to organize and advocate for our rights as well. You people are implementing policies which are displacing us in our home countries. And we are not...
Second. For those of you enjoying the dark recesses of the internet, we are not voting to destroy the statue or to bury it. So stop with the ISIS comparisons. They make you look foolish and taint the important argument of those who say leave it where it is because it has historical and educational value.
And then earlier this year, we took a vote of whether to move the Robert E. Lee statue, and we had 3 votes to move it and 2 not.
First tonight, Charlottesville City Council voted to move the statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee out of downtown.
Yeah, the final vote was 3-2, with Bob Fenwick voting for the move after abstaining last vote, leaving it in a tie. NBC 29's
So now, therefore, be it resolved that the City of Charlottesville shall remove the statue of Robert E. Lee from the park currently known as Lee Park, and be it further resolved that the park currently known as Lee Park shall be renamed. And be it further resolved that we hereby direct staff to bring council a range of recommended options for moving forward with decisions on destination, design, and park name within 60 days for our consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Get it out of your system, everyone. Okay. Any further? Okay, now we're going to move on.
I will say that in the past 2 days, I have heard from a lot of people, both through email and in person, people who said, you know, I used to think that those statues should stay. I used to think that it didn't matter and that it was just a statue. And the presence of these white supremacists this weekend, using those statues to say, that's what we stand for, has made me understand why they need to be taken away.
That's really interesting that was an accelerant in the debate.
Mm-hmm.
So, Councilwoman, were you there this weekend?
Although I was not in the middle of most of the fray. I was kind of on the outskirts of it. I felt that being there might, as who I am, probably would only inflame tempers and wouldn't help.
So I want to ask you a question, because I've been thinking about this as we're talking. You're in that room asking a professor that question, and you can argue that that's how this entire chain of events here starts in Charlottesville. And then you have the events of this weekend, which are quite painful for you. And I wonder how you process that, your own role in all this, not to suggest personal responsibility, but how you process that.
You know, there actually have been a lot of emails saying, you know, it's all your fault. If you hadn't brought that up, nobody would be doing this. And I just don't believe it. I think that, you know, if it hadn't been here, it might have been somewhere else. But the fact that somebody might eventually react badly to you doing the right thing is not a reason to not do the right thing.
You will not replace us! You will not replace us!
You know, these issues, the statues are kind of a proxy for a conversation that we've never really completed in this country around race and around, you know, history, around justice. And so I think when people talk about the statues, they're not really talking about statues. They're talking about where they see their own role in America. I think we saw in this demonstration this weekend that there are white people in this country who really believe that they are in danger, that somehow they're going to be eliminated because of racial diversity and inclusion. And you know, while I could laugh about that and say, you know, that's clearly not true, I think that something in there is being expressed that's way beyond whether a statue stays or not in a particular park in a particular town in Virginia.
Oh my God, badly hurt. We need paramedics right now. Holy shit, a car just drove into people.
Councilwoman, is there anything else you want to say in this moment? Because as you know well, all eyes are on your city.
Well, I will say that as the child of civil rights workers in Mississippi, I think that we would be wrong to think that somehow before the discussion about the statues came up that everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the wounds from before the Civil War, some of the wounds of slavery, some of the wounds of the civil rights era have never fully healed. It's like a bone that's not quite been set right and continues to cause us pain. And sometimes addressing that is almost like re-breaking a bone. It causes pain, and I understand that, and I wish it could be done without pain.
Sounds like you're saying that this moment, even the events of this weekend, might be an important break, as painful as that is.
I don't know that this moment will bring healing. I hope so. You know, if some good could be found in it, that would be great. You know, what happened this weekend was horrible, and I don't think it was a necessary thing. I think certainly the people who lost their lives this weekend, we can never bring them back, and that's a terrible tragedy, and that, I think, lies totally on the heads of the people who came here to bring hate and sow these seeds of hatred in our city. For those who think that moving a statue is erasing history, you know, if statues were the only way we taught history, if we didn't have books or movies or radio, or if we didn't have other ways to convey history, that would be an argument. But you know, one statue in one town is not how we teach history, and moving it is not how we erase history.
Councilwoman, I want to thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
We'll be right back. Glenn Thrush, you've been with the president these past few days, and you've been reporting on the White House's response, evolving response, to Charlottesville. What did the president do on Monday?
Well, on Monday, the first thing that he did was he read a tweet from the head of Merck Pharmaceuticals, Kenneth Frazier, quitting this business board.
Merck CEO Kenneth Frazier saying in a statement released on Twitter, "I am resigning from the president's American Manufacturing Council," adding, "America's leaders must honor our fundamental values by clearly rejecting expressions of hatred, bigotry, and group supremacy."
And his tweet essentially said that he believed that there was no place in this country for racism, and leadership was about calling that out.
Frazier is the highest profile business leader to publicly distance himself from Trump.
And the president, who did not call out white supremacists on Twitter, decided to attack the CEO on Twitter.
The president has tweeted, "Now that Ken Frazier of Merck Pharma has resigned from president's manufacturing council, he will have more time to, in all caps, lower rip-off drug prices, exclamation point."
I got to say, that is just a remarkable war of words.
Let me just paint a little scene for you. I'm flying around a lot today. Mm-hmm. We started off, I've been on Air Force One with the president. We're going back tonight on Air Force One. We came down from New Jersey here for a day of meetings. We're going back up to New York tonight. We got on the plane early in the morning, probably 8:30. That tweet about Frazier hits, and we're all sort of stunned by it, but it's kind of generic. And then one of the reporters for Business Wire says, "Oh, by the way, Mr. Frazier is black."
The grandson of a sharecropper, Frazier was the only African-American CEO of a large U.S. drug maker when he took the job in 2010.
And you could have heard a pin drop. It was just a stunning, stunning development. I think
because of the racial sensitivities involved in what's going on in Charlottesville.
Yeah, I mean, the entire world is criticizing the president of the United States for not calling neo-Nazis neo-Nazis, and here he is. The person he takes a whack at is an African-American who's an example of the achievement of the American dream. I just think that became too much. And the other thing that we've been hearing in the course of our reporting is General Kelly, the chief of staff, has been quietly but firmly pushing the president towards making a more fulsome statement.
So, Glenn, I want to be sure I understand this. Do you feel like Frazier's resignation was a precipitating factor in the president going from somebody who was not quite ready to call out white supremacists, neo-Nazis, KKK members, to somebody who was on Monday at the White House?
I don't know if it was the precipitating factor, but it became apparent after the president did that, and it evoked this tremendous backlash.
Thank you.
That he had to address.
I'm in Washington today to meet with my economic team about trade policy and major tax cuts and reform.
Tell me a little bit about what he said.
He started off by touting the economy.
Our economy is now strong. The stock market continues to hit record highs. Unemployment is at a 16-year low.
And then he said something curious, but very, very typical, essentially that he had already addressed this.
As I said on Saturday, we condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence. It has no place in America.
And then he went a little bit further.
Racism is evil, and those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans.
And this is a remarkable moment in the American presidency, I think, Michael, and one that will define his term in office. We got all excited because the president of the United States said, and I quote, racism is evil. Think about that. Think about that statement being considered newsworthy. It's an anodyne statement. But in this case, the president connecting what had happened in Charlottesville with the people who perpetrated it was actually news.
Thank you, Glenn.
Take care.
Bye. On Monday night, more CEOs resigned from President Trump's Manufacturing Council, including Kevin Plank, the head of Under Armour. In a statement, Plank said, quote, I will continue to focus my efforts on inspiring every person that they can do anything through the power of sport, which promotes unity, diversity, and inclusion. Soon after, Brian Krzanich, the CEO of Intel, said he had stepped down to, quote, call attention to the serious harm our divided political climate is causing to critical issues, including the serious need to address the decline of American manufacturing. Here's what else you need to know today. The Times reports that Steve Bannon's job in the White House is in question as pressure mounts on the president to fire him following criticism of Trump's response to the violence in Charlottesville. White House aides tell the Times that Bannon consulted repeatedly with the president over the weekend and in general has cautioned the president not to go after far-right activists too harshly, for fear of antagonizing a small but impassioned part of his base. On Sunday, former White House communications director Anthony Scaramucci appeared on This Week with George Stephanopoulos.
I mean, I've never sat down with Steve Bannon and said, hey, are you a white nationalist or a white supremacist? But I think the toleration of it by Steve Bannon is inexcusable.
You've been tough on Steve Bannon. Does he have to go?
Well, I think the president knows what he's going to do with Steve Bannon.
And Attorney General Jeff Sessions says that the young man suspected of driving the car into the crowd of counter-protesters on Saturday, killing 32-year-old Heather Hyers, committed an act of domestic terrorism.
It does meet the definition of domestic terrorism in our statute. We are pursuing it when the Department of Justice, in every way that we can make it, make a case, you can be sure we will charge and advance the investigation toward the most serious charges that can be brought, because this is an unequivocally unacceptable and evil attack that cannot be accepted in America.
On Monday, James Alex Fields, a 20-year-old security guard from Ohio, was denied bail by a judge in Virginia. During the court hearing, the judge asked Fields if he had any ties to Charlottesville. "No, sir," he replied. That's it for The Daily. I'm Michael Barbaro. See you tomorrow.